Okay, so welcome back to the Stoppage Time podcast with myself, Ethan Moreland. Today I'm on my own and I'm talking about the well-anticipated Champions League is back. I think we all need a break from the Premier League and the level of refereeing that we've seen this weekend. I think it is important to see some decent European refereeing along with some decent VAR decisions. I think it's gonna allow us to sort of recuperate ready for the weekend again. But yeah, I'm excited for the Champions League this week. I think there's going to be some decent games that are coming out of it. There's certainly some teams who in the league aren't doing so well but could bring an upset maybe. Who knows? This week, the first game that's coming back is we've got Chelsea Dynamo Zagreb, which is going to be a decent one. I think Chelsea, they're not looking the best in the league, so I think they're going to really struggle in this game. I think it's going to be one of those. They maybe get a 2-1 win, or I think at worst is a draw for them. I don't know too much about Dynamo Zagreb, if I'm honest, but yeah, I think Chelsea are going to pull it off. Dortmund against Copenhagen. I don't know, Dortmund this year, they've struggled on a few. They've not looked the most confident this year. I think the loss of Haaland hasn't helped with that whatsoever. I think the obviously Sebastian Haller situation isn't ideal for them. The way this system works is they bring in these youngsters and they build them up, ready to sell them on to these better clubs, and that's fine, but I think you've always got to have one or two at sort of their pinnacle before they sell them, and I don't think they have that at the minute. Obviously they have the older guys like Marco Reus, but they look like they're struggling a little bit. I think Jude Bellingham's looking good, but he's just, I don't know, I think the level around him has gotten a little bit worse, and I think that's not helping his confidence in the league this year. But I think this one will be an easy win for them. I'll go through the decent games. I'm not going through every single game because there's so many. Sevilla, City. City looking ridiculous this year. Obviously, Haaland has scored 10 in 6 games. And Sevilla themselves aren't looking too good. They've 1 win and 3 losses. They've not won yet this season in La Liga. I think the loss of the likes of Jules Koundé hasn't helped them. I think City, they're going to be so hard to play against this year. I think what's going to happen is teams are really, really going to struggle against them. They're going to see Haaland and going to see how he's been playing in the Premier League and be like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because you look at the kid's awareness, like, I can say kid, he's younger than me. It's madness. It's actually scary. But yeah, you look at his awareness and he's, before he's received the ball, he's looking at where the ball is, always where the ball is. So he knows where the space is, he finds it, and then he's making sure he's in that area for when the ball is played in, and he's always there. So if there's a cross that comes in that's deflected, he always seems to be on the end of it anyway. Like he's always in the right area to pick up a ball to just tap it in from 6 to 12 yards. The kid is very, very scary, and I think Sevilla will be worried coming into this game, especially with the likes of Bernardo Silva playing so well, Kevin De Bruyne again with a ridiculous assist against Aston Villa. Like that was insane. I think they're gonna walk away with this one. City are, it's just, yeah, they're looking too good. Then you've got Milan against RB Salzburg. Salzburg, they always look like they have a decent go, but if I'm honest, I don't know too much about them this year. I don't know who they've brought in or who they've sold. Obviously they sold Aronson to Leeds. He looks very, very good. High presser, he's got a lot of energy off the ball. He seems quite talented too. I think I think the American system is bringing out a lot of decent players in recent years, and you know, it used to just be there was the odd few who made it through, but now I think with the rise of the MLS, we're seeing this sort of era of these young kids come through who are producing performances and making their way over to Europe. And yes, some could say they're making their way over too early, but I think some of them, you know, they're going to the right leagues. Like, I think going to RB Salzburg before you go to the Premier League is probably a decent step. The kid's got Champions League experience. I mean, like, you can't fault him. And yeah, I think RB Salzburg are obviously picking up a few players from the likes of New York Red Bulls and, you know, those kind of teams. And they're really... I think the recruitment is good. The recruitment is always good. So I'm excited to see what sort of players they have this year. And then obviously AC Milan. They're sat, I think, third in the league after beating Inter Milan in the Milan derby. You know, they're looking good this year. Fikayo Tomori at the back is solid. Rafael Leao is... You know, he got two at the weekend. He's looking incredible this season. I think they're lucky to hold on to him. I was quite surprised when they hadn't sold him on this summer. You know, then there's the likes of... They have Zlatan, but he's injured at the minute. You know, there's a few good ones. Giroud. Yeah, I think... Even, like, I thought they would struggle this year. I'm not going to lie. I think, that obviously, with the injury of Zlatan... They sold Frank Kessie to Barca. I think they've recruited a few. They haven't looked the most promising this summer, but they're doing good. I think it'll be a good game. I think maybe Milan come away with it. Kind of want them to, for you know, I like watching them. They're a decent side. And then tough game. Celtic Real Madrid. Real Madrid this year are unbeaten 4-4, and Celtic unbeaten. They are, I think, is it 5-5, I think. 6-6. So, but Real Madrid, Karim Benzema up front. Oh my God, I think Celtic are gonna get battered. Madrid are gonna run riot over them. They, you know, we love to watch Celtic. They're good enough to be a Premier League side, but the problem is, in the Premier League, they're not good enough to make the Champions League. That's the only thing. Obviously, they're at home, so they're at Celtic Park, so the atmosphere is going to be incredible for that one. It's going to be great to watch it. I just think Real Madrid are too good. You know, with the likes of Vinicius Jr. up there, Rodrigo's had a couple of decent seasons, and you know, the midfield at Real Madrid is timeless with Luka Modric, like in there, Toni Kroos. I feel like Real Madrid will be one of those teams that throughout an entire lifetime they will perform. They will always perform. They'll always win leagues. They'll win Champions Leagues. I think Celtic probably couldn't have got a worse group in terms of Red Bull. Leipzig are a decent side. Shakhtar Donetsk, you know, they always bring a tough game to people. I think they're going to really struggle to get out of the groups this year. I think we can maybe in an anomaly year hope for second to get through to the next stage. But if I'm honest, third is more likely. Third is definitely more likely in that. Then probably the best, I'd say the best game of this week's fixtures, PSG, Juventus. That one's going to be a very, very good one. Juventus that last year and this year struggled a bit. They've looked like a shadow of the former self. You know, this year, 2 wins, 3 draws. They haven't lost yet, but they don't look like... Like, Vlahovic looks like he's a bit unsettled, is probably the best way to say it. He isn't performing how we thought he would when they signed him from Fiorentina. And I think that is where they are struggling, is because, you know, they've paid so much for this front, number nine front man, and he's not performing to how they want him to. I think they expected him to be performing a bit like Haaland is now at City. And yeah, obviously, I think they've not been able to sign anyone to bolster that, like, sort of number nine role, to provide him with any sort of competition, because they spent so much money on him. And then obviously PSG and Farmers League running riot. I don't know. You take everything they do with a pinch of salt. They've got the players on paper. They should be winning Champions League year in, year out. But I think what doesn't help is playing in a Farmers League where you're going out, and we just look at it and we go, okay, they should be winning that 5-6-7-0 every single week. This is what I don't like about PSG, is they claim to be the best and they buy all these players, and it's the league is shit. Like, you, when you're playing against like a nonce who you beat in like 5-6-0, and then the next week you're playing against Lille, who won the league a couple of years ago, and you beat them 7-1. Like, it shows the level of the league. It's awful. And I think when you're playing in that league week in, week out, it's no good preparation for a Champions League game, because there's never a need. Like, they're never in these, like, you know, this, like a 1-1 where they need a last minute goal sort of thing. They're never really in that. And I think, you know, if they were playing in the likes of the Premier League where you're getting that week in, week out, I think we would probably see a better version of PSG. But they just have it so easy in that league. We almost expect them to win the league every... We do expect them to win the league every year. We kind of expect them to win the cups every year. It's just... They pay money for these players, and I think they go there because they look at it and they go, I can win things. It's easier. And there's just no sort of... I think everyone becomes a bit lackadaisical when they go to PSG. And, you know, because PSG literally go, here's probably double, triple your wages that you were getting at your other club. Come play in this shit league and probably win the league every single year. And everyone's going, yep, okay. I'm going to make enough money to sort my family out for this generation, next generation, generation after. And they just sort of sit there 2-3 years. You look at the likes of, you know, Icardi, Draxler, Kozawa, you know, these players who they're on the PSG books, and they're having to send them out on loan because they can't. They're not playing, but their wages are astronomical, and these players, obviously, they need game time. I just think the setup of PSG is terrible in terms of that. And, you know, they let youngsters go, like Xavi Simmons, who's now gone to PSV, I think PSV, and he's looking decent in that league, you know. Feyenoord, I think it is. I think that game is going to be a close one with Juventus' form. PSG, they never look prepared for this league, the Champions League. So I think this one's going to be a draw, maybe a 2-1 to PSG. Next, Ajax Rangers. Now, I think this works well for Ajax because they're at home for this one. If they were at the Ibrox, I think Rangers walk all over them. I think the crowd at the Ibrox really scares teams. But Ajax are looking good. They've actually made some decent signings. They've sold some key players. But I think always, the thing that's always a guarantee with Ajax is they're going to bring through solid youth. Always going to bring through solid youth, and these players will perform. We never expect them to, but they always perform in the Champions League at the highest levels, and then that's where they then obviously begin to sell them on. The likes of Antony, the likes of Lautaro Martinez, especially his game against Borussia Dortmund. You know, he held Haaland up for an entire game. Madness, looking at how good for Haaland is this year. I think that one's going to be a close one. I think Ajax are going to edge them out in this one. I think Rangers, off the back of that 4-0 defeat, they'll be looking for something, but I don't think their form is quite there. Obviously, they've drew in the league, lost to Celtic at the weekend. I think yeah, I think Ajax are going to come away with that one. Again, another game that I think is going to be a very, very good one is Inter Milan, Bayern Munich. Now that is going to be a game to watch. You know, Inter are also sat up there near the top of the league. They are currently sat, 8th after 3 wins and 2 losses. I chat out of my arse, I'm sorry. Against Bayern Munich, who obviously just dominate another Farmers League. And we kind of just expect it to happen. This one's going to be a good one, though, I think. I think the level of quality in this game. I'm excited to see Sadio Mane playing the Champions League for Bayern. This one, I don't know. I think it's going to go either way. It's going to be very, very close, where we're talking like a 1-1, a 2-2, or Bayern walk away with it, like a 4-1, 5-1, something stupid like that. Barca against Victoria Pizen. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Got no idea. Barcelona, I'm excited to watch. The thing with Barcelona is I've probably shit on them the whole transfer window because they are activating these economic levers. Like how many? There was like 24 of them or whatever. They activate these economic levers and sign these players for ridiculous money when they didn't really need to sign the likes of Rafinha and sign a 33-year-old Lewandowski for near 50 million. I think the team they have managed to put together is going to be exciting to watch. I'm also excited to see whether Hector Bellerin gets in that side and plays games for them because obviously he's on a one-year contract with them. I don't know whether he's just going to be a squad player or whether he's actually going to be getting into that starting 11 very often. But the team looks very, very good. I think what's going to happen though is eventually because of the amount of economic levers they're activating now, I think give them 8 to 10 years and we're going to see the downfall of Barca. Because they're going to struggle to activate any more because they've sold the TV rights away. They've sold all media rights. They've had investment from XYZ. And I think the money's going to eventually run out for them. And they're going to really, really struggle. And obviously, there's a big conspiracy whether the government pays for them and all that sort of stuff. But I think eventually financial fair play, as shit as it is going to get them. And I think Barca one day we're going to see as a mid-table side. It's shit to say because I grew up watching Barca and I loved watching Barca. You know, your MSN for Barca back in the day, Neymar, Messi, Suarez, bagging goals week in, week out. Like, goals and assists for them was ridiculous. I just think the way the club is going, the way the club is being run is running it into the ground slowly. And, you know, when you're paying 50 million for Lewandowski, who's 33, and you're never, ever, ever going to get that money back for him because he's either going to retire at the club or if you get rid of him, it'll be the end of a contract. And I just think the money, you can't be spending money on these players. What they need to be doing is spending money like the way, you know, like, I'm going to sort of use Celtic as an example whereby Celtic signed players from, like, say, for example, they signed Kyogo, Maeda from Japan. No one had really heard of them other than, obviously, Ange Postecoglou because he'd worked over there. He signs players who he thinks will fit his style of play, signs them for next to nothing, and then you look at them. And then look at them now where they're very, very good. Like, they're obviously not Barca level, but they're very, very good. And Celtic could happily cash in on these players and build again. Barca aren't doing that. Barca are signing players at their pinnacle. Obviously trying to compete for La Liga. But they're signing players at the pinnacle, and probably 90% of them, they're not going to get the money back for them. They're probably going to lose money on them. I think they just need to adopt this new recruitment strategy of looking for players who aren't very well known, look at it for them at the beginning of the career, a bit like Ajax as well. They need to look for these players at the beginning of the career and build them up into players that they can then either make their, you know, make their Lionel Messi's, make their Ansu Fati's, and then potentially sell some of them on, bring some money back into the club to then sign these players. Because the problem is they don't bring money into the club. They don't sell to bring these players in. Obviously, they sold Ricky Puig to LA Galaxy, which was a very, very weird one. But obviously, he's enjoying the MLS. The MLS is building. It looks decent. But yeah, I think Barca, they're obviously going to walk away with this game. But it's just, I would like to see Barca change the recruitment strategy, for sure. They need to do something to keep themselves in contention for the long term, rather than just like the next few seasons like they have done. Yeah, so now we're going to Napoli-Liverpool. You know, Salah looks like a version of him for himself this season. It's hard to watch because he's obviously been pushed out wide, which is fine. But he doesn't seem to, he struggles. He's more of an inside forward, like we said on the last podcast. I think he struggles staying out wide because obviously he's a goal scorer. This is the problem. And I think this new system that Liverpool have adopted isn't working so well. I'd like to see Artur maybe come into the squad, see what he can do. Obviously, he's like a final third player that, at Juventus, they played him as like a defensive midfielder, which didn't work out because he is, as we saw at Barca, this final third player where he spends most of his time sort of in that attacking midfielder role where he would play the balls in behind. And I would like to sort of see that at Liverpool. Problem is, he's injury prone. But yeah, I think this one, Liverpool are really going to struggle to get a result. I think this one's going to be a draw again. You know, we've had, what, 3 draws this season. It's hard to watch, but what can you do? Then Tottenham-Marseille will be a very, very good one. Tottenham, they're not playing the best football, but they're just grinding out wins. And I think they're really doing well, but I think eventually it's gonna come back to bite them, where they're not playing this like attacking, pressing football. It'll be good to see how they do in the Champions League again. I think maybe they come out with a win in this one. I'm not sure how Marseille are doing in the Farmers League, but yeah, it's gonna be good to see. And yeah, I'm excited to see how that one goes. I think maybe Tottenham come out with a win, but who knows? Yeah, it's a decent run of midweek fixtures for the Champions League, and then obviously we've got the Europa League. I'm not going to even bother with the Conference League. Europa League, we've got United in there, obviously off the back of 4 wins on the bounce, I think, against Real Sociedad. They get a result. I think, yeah, you can't not knock them. They thinking that one, they come away with it easily. Arsenal against FC Zurich. To be fair, there's not much to say yet in the Europa League because they're playing against shit teams who they're guaranteed to win almost. Like, I bet on the Europa League, because especially the group stage, because you can almost guarantee teams nine times out of 10 are going to beat, like, Arsenal and United are going to beat these shit teams. Roma are going to beat Ludogorets. Like, I don't know. It's one of them, I think. It's just not that great of a competition during the group stages. Other than them 3 games, I can't really see any decent ones, to be honest. No. Maybe PSV Bodo Glimt. Bodo Glimt had a decent run last year in the Europa League. But other than that, I think, yeah, the main ones to watch are United, Real Sociedad, Arsenal, Zurich, and then Roma Ludogorets. Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting run of results for these midweek fixtures. You know, I'm excited for the Champions League to be back, finally. I think what's got me this year is the level of VAR. VAR is shit in the league. I think, like, even PGMOL came out and said that they were looking into the two decisions, the Chelsea West Ham one and the Newcastle Palace one. And it just shows there's no integrity with these decisions. Like, they're not, like, I don't understand. I don't understand how a referee has gone to the monitor, looked at that and gone, okay, this is a foul on the keeper in either situation. When you can see, even in slow motion, you can see Mitchell push Willock into Guaita. And even in slow motion, you can see there's barely any contact from Bowen on Mendy. Mendy pissed me off with that. Just like David De Gea did it a few years ago against Arsenal and it didn't work for him. Whereas for Mendy, it's now worked. And I think what's going to happen is keepers are now going to do it more. They're going to pretend they're injured and get away with these, you know, these sort of these fouls that aren't. It's basically, if it was an outfield player, it'd be a dive. I think you're going to get away with it a lot more and it's going to be become a big problem. I think also the issue with VAR is that the officials are just referees, the VAR officials. There's no extra qualification. I feel like there should be just qualified VAR officials who deal with these situations. And also, I don't think VAR should be given any advice to the referees. It pisses me off that they go, I think there is a possible foul. No, you shouldn't do that. There should literally be an automated message saying possible foul in build up. Nothing else from the VAR officials. I don't think they should be getting involved. I think it should only be played in real time. It should not be played in slow motion like it is, because in slow motion, anything looks worse. Mark Goldbridge on The Filling said it best. If you watch a knockout in boxing in slow motion, you always think it's the best punch in the world. With VAR, it makes things look more extreme than they are, especially with the Ødegaard situation. It made it look like a worse foul than what it was in real time, where the referee didn't give it, and it was one of those. I think in the situation we're in with VAR, I think it has to be given, because we give anything. But I think in an actual game of football, that isn't a foul because it's not a clear and obvious error. Yes, that is up to judgment. But for me personally, I think the way it's being done, where we look at it in slow motion and referees are given 5 minutes to look at it, it's not working. I think referees should be given a maximum of a minute. And if they can't make a decision, then that is it. They go with the gut and the decision they made. And that is it. I think 5 minutes for a decision, especially like the Mitchell one on Willock, 5 minutes to make that decision is wrong. It ruins the game. We're sat waiting for so long. It's infuriating, to be honest. And then I think that, yes, it should be given a minute. I think for the offsides, I don't think they should go off such fine margins. They shouldn't be zooming in as much as they are. I think if it's not given, the referee should look at it, be the one to look at it on screen. And from there, they decide, is that a clear and obvious offside? If not, then we don't give it. Yeah, it's going to piss a few people off. But I think when you're given an offside by a millimetre of a shoulder, when no one scores with their fucking shoulder, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Players are having, these players would have to like wait an extra split second to make these runs when they are really onside. They are onside. They're having to wait an extra split second to make these runs, and I think it would just ruin the amount of attacking opportunities in a game, and it would ruin the flow of games. It's just, yeah, it's, I don't know, but it just seems to be the Premier League. I think internationally, in the other leagues across Europe, it's used very well. I just think in the Premier League, we've got it so wrong, and there needs to be something done and something in place to make it better, to make the game more watchable. Because at the minute, fans don't want to watch a 5 minute review of VAR. I think a minute at most is enough to decide whether it's clear and obvious. Because if you're taking more than a minute, I think past that point, it's 100% not clear and obvious. And that's where I think that's where we need to differentiate the define the rule of clear and obvious. Give them a minute to watch it. If they can't make a decision, that's it. Done. Go from there. That is my rant over on VAR. I think, yeah, so exciting Champions League fixtures coming up. A few Europa League ones to watch out for, obviously. Maybe have a look at West Ham in the Conference League. Who knows? But, yeah, been a decent episode, decent 31 minutes. Thank you very much again for listening to the Stoppage Time podcast with myself, Ethan Moreland. Yeah, there's going to be another episode coming out after Champions League fixtures and Europa League fixtures on Friday, ready for the Premier League preview of the weekend. And yeah, it's been a good one. Follow us on Twitter, at Pod Stoppage Time, and follow us on Instagram, stoppagetime.podcast. Thank you for listening.